We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Romans chapter 12, and you'll find our text in verse 12, the first part of verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. But the words rejoicing in hope. The Christian's hope is a great cause for joy. We are to rejoice in hope. Are you joyful in considering your hope? A wonderful future is promised to us as God's people. We believe in heaven. And if we believe in heaven, we ought to rejoice. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to our hopes. We read in the scriptures of what the Lord promises to his people. By faith we believe the scriptures. And we believe the scriptures because we believe in God, in the God who cannot lie. And we believe in this hope because Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And believing in Jesus, we believe that there's a wonderful future before us as God's people. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Heaven awaits us. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Keep on going in the midst of suffering. When everything seems to be against you, remember there's a great future. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The awfulness of hell is that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. How desperate. Flee from the wrath to come. But whatever tunnels we have to pass through as Christians in this world, there's light ahead of us. There's hope. There's heaven. There's bliss. There's blessedness. Rejoice in hope. And whatever you're suffering at this present time, whatever pain and anguish you're going through, rejoice in hope. Tonight, I'd like us to think about heaven, the Christian hope. And I'd like us to think of 10 wonderful things about heaven in order to encourage us and to cause us to rejoice as we think of heaven. Now the first thing about heaven is it's to be with God. And that's something amazing in itself. To be with our Creator. Remember what Augustine said, "Thou hast created us, and our souls are restless till they find their rest in Thee." And every Christian will find their rest in God perfectly when they reach heaven. We find it imperfectly in this world. And we do find rest in God here. But we struggle at times. And we struggle even with our faith at times, because our faith is full of doubts. But like the man in the Gospels, we say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We believe, Lord, we cling to you. Lord, we cast ourselves upon you. Lord, we trust in you. Our faith is weak, but help us to overcome our unbelief. But one day, faith and hope will be swallowed up with sight. God is judge. But we have been justified. Our first parents ran away from God when they sinned. And the unconverted is always hiding from God. But as Christians, we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. And we're going to be with God. But we're not just justified. We're also adopted. And because we're adopted, God is our Father in heaven. And we want to be with our Father in heaven. How wonderful it will be to be at home at last with our Father and our brothers and sisters. How wonderful it will be to be with God. You know, there's these celebrities in the world, and we hear of people and they're running after them looking for autographs, and they're so proud when they get these autographs or when they get a selfie with whoever it is. I remember many years ago when we were in Partick, we were given tickets to go to the launching of a warship in the Clyde, and Diana, she was launching, Princess Diana was launching the ship, and there was quite a bit of excitement going there, and there were crowds there, and there was Diana in the flesh walking around greeting people after she had launched the ship just a few yards away from us. Seemed a big thing. One of my earliest memories as a little child was when the Queen came to Stornoway shortly after her coronation. And I was a little boy, I remember, on my father's shoulders watching the Queen opening James Mackenzie's mill in Stornoway, and sitting on my father's shoulders watching the Queen. Well, whatever Diana was, whatever the Queen is, as great personalities in this world, God, to be with God in the presence of Him who is so immense, so much more glorious, so much more transcendent and majestic and magnificent, the eternal God, the infinitely great God, the awesome God, the almighty, powerful God, the God who created this world with a word. And we will be with God in His presence, reconciled to Him, and He delighting in us as His children. Heaven is wonderful, to be with God, to have some consciousness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My own father just shortly before he died. He had a strange experience. He suffered from a stroke, indeed, a series of strokes, and this affected his speech so that he couldn't speak properly. But one day, shortly before he died, worship was going on in the house, and my brother-in-law was taking the worship, and when he'd finished praying, my father's face was radiant, and all he could do was point up and say, the three. He had got some vision of the Trinity, of God. It continued with him for several days, his face shining with the influence, the bliss. How wonderful it will be to be with a three. Not just to get a little vision or a moment of insight, but to be forever with God. Glorious God. Moses spoke to God face to face. And when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining so brightly that they had to put a veil on his face to cover it. How wonderful it will be to be with God in the brightness of the glory of God. In this world, sometimes we have an experience of awe and of wonder, and the fear of God comes down over us. But oh, to be filled with the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Filled with the awe and the majesty and the glory of Him that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. To be with God. Secondly, to be with Christ. To see His face. That face that was spat upon for us. The cheeks from which the hair was plucked for us. The cheeks that were buffeted for us. That forehead on which was the crown of thorns for us. To see those hands and feet pierced for us. To see that side into which the spear had gone for me. The wonder of it. To be with Christ, the Lamb of God who loved us and who gave Himself for us. To sit at His feet as Mary did. Without having to be cumbered about many things as Martha was. To listen to His teaching. To be in love with Him. To be married to Him forever. To look into these blessed eyes. To be full of love and full of delight for Christ. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The glory of Christ. And the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of water. How wonderful that will be, to be with Christ forever. The two on the road to Emmaus, how their hearts burned within them. As He spoke to them by the way, expounding to them the Scriptures, how wonderful it will be, not just to get a moment of His presence. We're hoping at our next communion to have the Reverend Kenneth MacDonald as our assisting minister. Now, Mr. MacDonald had a brother-in-law, Ian, who suffered from Down syndrome. And latterly, Ian came to live with them, and he would always be in church and in worship and all these things with them. And eventually he became very ill and had to go into hospital. The day before he died, his brother Stuart came. Stuart is a Christian, came to visit him. When Stuart came into the room, he said, "Stuart, Stuart, do you see? Do you see?" Stuart looked around. He couldn't see anything. What is it, Ian? What is it? Jesus! Jesus! There he was, seeing Jesus. The next day he was gone to be with Jesus. Stephen, you remember when he died, how he got a vision of Jesus. Standing at God's right hand in heaven. How wonderful it is how the Lord comes, particularly to those feeble of mind, reveals himself in different ways. You don't have to be an intellectual to become a Christian. You can be mentally disabled. You can be have all kinds of learning difficulties and problems. And yet the Lord revealing himself in a way suited to your condition to fill your heart with himself. How wonderful it will be to see Jesus. Rejoicing in hope. Are you rejoicing in this hope of seeing your beloved Savior? Thirdly, to be with the Holy Spirit. When Christ left this world, he promised another comforter, another friend, another paraclete, another to come to sit beside us, another to intercede on our behalf, to dwell with us, to be his abiding presence on earth. And this morning we were talking about the Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost in a wonderful way to dwell with the church. And then in heaven, we'll be with the Spirit and the Spirit with us. And today we have the Spirit with us, but so often we grieve the Spirit and we quench the Spirit and the Spirit seems so far from us. There are times, yes, when our heart is thrilled and warmed and we are delighted with God, with the things of God. And other times through our sins and our backsliding and our unbelief, these things seem so far away. But then in heaven, filled with the Spirit, when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the rushing, the sound of the rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were gathered together. And in the book of Acts, we read from time to time of the Spirit coming and filling the disciples. Sometimes the house shaking where they were assembled. And in heaven, you'll be full of the Holy Spirit, dominated and controlled by the Spirit. And when the Spirit is present, there's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. Wonderful love, wonderful joy, wonderful peace. I remember the night I got assurance of my salvation, the love that I had for the Lord that night, the sense of joy in the Lord, the peace that flooded in, the sense of assurance and forgiveness, love, joy, peace, the Holy Spirit there filling our hearts forevermore. Full of the fruit of the Spirit, rejoicing in hope, rejoicing in hope. Fourthly, heaven will be the end of sin. Sin brings guilt, sin brings misery. Sin is something that the Christian hates. We do it and we hate it, and it hurts us, it grieves us, but we'll never be tempted again. There'll be no Satan in heaven. The flesh will not be there in heaven. The world will not be there in heaven. There'll be no enemy. Nothing sinful or unclean will enter heaven. There'll be no pride in heaven, no showing off. There'll be no lust in heaven, no unclean thoughts in heaven. There'll be no envy in heaven, no jealousy, no bad temper in heaven. No spite or vindictiveness. There'll be no covetousness, no idols, no Sabbath breaking, no hypocrisy in heaven. What a blessing that will be. If you're a true Christian tonight, you long to be finished with sin. And you will be finished with sin. The souls of believers are at their death, made perfect in holiness. Finished with sin, and do immediately pass into glory. What a blessing. Rejoicing in hope. We long for that day when we'll never sin again. Never do a sinful deed. Never say a sinful word. Never think a sinful thought. But think everything that's good. And say everything that's good. And do everything that's good. No shame. No guilt. No sin that separates us from our Lord. No bad conscience. Rejoice. Rejoicing in hope today. Looking forward to the day when we shall see Him. And we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. Perfect. For we shall see Him as He is. An end to sin. A fifth point about heaven is serving God perfectly. Pleasing God. Delighting God. Worshipping God. Doing the will of God from the heart. In this world, we want to do God's will. We want to please Him. We wish to serve Him. We want to be glorifying Him. We want to be fulfilling His commands in everything. Doing good works, and in heaven, we'll do good works effortlessly. We come so far short. But as Christians, we long to please God and to please Him constantly. All the time to be pleasing Him. Never to feel a failure again. Never to be ashamed of our service. God's servants in this world, and yet we look back and we feel we're just unprofitable servants. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? We think God would be so justified in getting rid of us and throwing us away. But then in heaven, glorifying Him, serving Him, being fruitful for Him forever. His servants shall serve Him, and His name shall be in their foreheads. A sixth point is rest. In this world, there's so many stresses and strains and so much to do, so many calls for our attention. We feel pushed in this direction, pulled in that direction. There's this thing we want to do, that thing, the next thing. There's all sorts of things. People calling for us. There's family, there's children, there's parents, there's husbands, there's wives, there's bosses, there's neighbours, there's things, all sorts of things to be done, all kinds of duties. And we long for the rest that remains for the people of God. At rest. No longer anxious. No anxiety. Sometimes we have this panicky feeling coming over us. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I feel it sometimes when I've got a series of meetings maybe to do, and feeling of all these things to prepare for, different things to do, and wondering will I be able to cope with all these things. But then, rest. At rest. How wonderful heaven will be. The rest that remains for the people of God. Completely relaxed. No stress, no panic, but peace. At peace. A seventh point is, the pain is gone. All the illnesses and sicknesses of this world passed. Some people have a tremendous amount of pain in their lives. I remember reading a story, life story of one woman who spoke of pain as her companion, her daily companion. Some people suffer from horrible forms of arthritis and rheumatism. Some people have pains from forms of cancer, pains from trapped nerves, pains from, they don't know what it is, but just pain through their body. Constant ache. How wonderful it will be to have no pain. No weakness. No sick feeling. No disability. What a terrible thing mental illness is. You can't think straight. Depression. These dark thoughts you can't understand. The mind working overtime, running round and round and round, and you cannot get control of it. You can't work it out. Paranoia or fear coming in to some people. Panicking. People hearing voices. Feeling that there's people trying to kill them. And they go around with this paranoia all the time. Or maybe OCD, this compulsive disorder of compelled to certain kind of activity that paralyzes them. Or autism. All these different kinds of conditions. And heaven. Healed from every illness. Just this past week, I heard of the death of a man same age as myself. He lived on the same street as us, and when I was minister in Partick, Wood End Drive. Very clever man. He had been Ducks of Jordan Hill School. He went to university and was reputed to have got the highest mark ever in physics. And then he had a breakdown. And for the rest of his life, he suffered from this breakdown and these voices that he was hearing and so forth. And then last week he died. But as the family were around his bed, he talked about the hope that he had. Talked about the rich man and Lazarus. Who was the success and who was the failure? The rich man, as far as the world was concerned, was a great success. Made lots of money. So successful in his big house. And faring sumptuously every day. And living to the praise of the world. And then there was Lazarus the beggar. Lying at his door. Covered with sores. But Lazarus was a success. When Lazarus died, he went to heaven forever. The rich man died and he went to hell. And so Andrew was saying, I'm longing to go to be with the Lord, to be delivered forever from all these frailties and weaknesses, to be at peace and at rest. It's strange the experiences some people have, the powers and capabilities they have, and yet these capabilities unused. And yet, beloved of the Lord, chosen by Him, and going to be with Christ forever. Pain is gone. And then death is gone, neatly. Death is gone. Death takes our loved ones away. It leaves a great hole in our lives. People say to us, get over it. Get on with life. But it's difficult because life is never the same again. Maybe it's a daughter or a son passing away. It can be so hard for us. Maybe it's a husband or a wife, somebody very close to us. And it leaves a great wound, a great emptiness behind. Life in this world is never the same again. But there's no death in heaven. There's no bereavement. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no more sea. You might think, well, that's a strange thing that the Bible says about heaven. No more sea. Some of us love the sea. I'm one of those who think the sea is beautiful and wonderful. I love the sea. I love being out in boats in the sea. And I love looking at the sea. I find it so interesting and beautiful. But there'll be no sea in heaven. What did the sea mean to John? The sea made him a prisoner in the Isle of Patmos. He was away from his loved ones. He was away from the church and the work that he longed to do. A prisoner. And there's nothing to imprison in heaven. There's nothing to cut off our loved ones from us. We're there together with our father, our husband, and our brothers and sisters forevermore. No more tears. Another thing about heaven, ninthly, is that we will have knowledge, great knowledge. We shall know even as we are known. Today we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Today there are many mysteries, things that we can't understand. We think of Job. Why am I going through this? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might set my case before him, that I might ask God the question, why, Lord, why am I going through all this? And then you get to heaven, and the Lord Jesus will explain to us one mystery after another. All these things explained and disclosed. How wonderful it is to grow in knowledge, to be learning and discovering and our minds opened on the most important knowledge, to be feeding on Christ forevermore and the mysteries of the gospel and the wonders of the truth, discovering more and more about God and His glory throughout the endless ages of eternity. Our concentration will be perfect. Our memory will be perfect. Learning and enjoying learning and delighting in the truth. Our minds feasting on heavenly knowledge. And one final thing about heaven. There we will be praised. In this world, we like to be praised. And we like when people tell us, oh, you did that really well, or you're very good, or you're very pretty, or you're very strong, or you're this, or you're that, or praise us in some way. We're always looking for praise and looking for acknowledgement and affirmation. But sadly, in this world, there's a lot of pride mingled in with all this. Our pride thinking we're better than we are. And there's human flattery praising us for advantage. But there's no pride in heaven, no flattery in heaven. And amazingly, the judge will say to you and to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we think, what have we done that's good? We've done nothing that's good. And yet, in the eyes of God, we have done good. And by His grace, we have done good. And we will be rewarded. And it won't be flattery. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You have been faithful in a little. Now you are set over much. Sit with me in my throne." And He places a crown upon our heads, and we shall reign with Him forever and ever. And He takes you and me, the rubbish of this world, and He makes us kings and priests unto God forever and ever. And in Jesus Christ there is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. And there'll be nobody, no one discriminated against. All together enjoying God's blessing, God's praise, and God's heaven forevermore. Rejoicing in hope. Do you have hope? If you're a Christian, you have hope. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have Christian hope. Rejoice in hope. Be glad. Be joyful. Be thankful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what He's done for you already. Praise the Lord for what He's doing for you today. Praise the Lord for what He'll do for you tomorrow. Praise the Lord for the heaven that He has gone to prepare for you. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. As a Christian, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. And if you're not a Christian tonight, remember, the door is still open. And if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ before, come to Him tonight. Ask Him to be your Savior. He's made a promise. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to Christ. Come in prayer. Come in faith. Put your trust in Him. And you'll be saved. And you too will share in the hope of the Christian. Rejoice in hope.